right, welcome back to the show, everybody. Today, my guest is Paxson Chase. Paxson Chase is a 23-year-old alternative indie artist from Trenton, New Jersey. He gained recognition at age 19 for the song I Want to Kill Myself, but now is not the right time. Since then, he has released 7 projects, most recently being Pretend in 2021. My guest today, Paxson Chase. Paxson, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, I'm really good, man. Yeah, thanks for coming on the show today.
Oh, thank you for having me, man. It feels great.
For sure, dude. Yeah, sounds good. I was just mentioning to you before we got started here, listen to some of your stuff before we hopped on here. And yeah, I really dig it, man. How would you describe your sound? Like, how would you, if your elevator pitch or whatever, if somebody's asking you what your sound is like, how do you describe it?
I would describe it as an alternative version of hip hop and lo-fi rock, if I really had to figure it out.
Yeah, I can definitely hear that. You know what I really like about, like, when you say lo-fi rock, like, you kind of have the microphone going and there's a little bit of, like, you can kind of hear you adjusting the guitar or something like that. It has that little bit of behind the scenes kind of feel to it, which I thought was super cool.
Yeah.
It's more, it's kind of like more intimate, right? It makes you feel like you're sharing like a track that you recorded in your living room or something like that. It has kind of an intimate vibe to it. I don't know if that's intentional or are you going for that?
Yes. I mean, most of my tracks, honestly, are kind of in my living room since the pandemic. Kind of just been stuck in my house. Most of them got that feeling because that is that feeling.
That is actually what's happening. Yeah. How did the pandemic affect your music? Was like for better or for worse? Like what was it? I mean, it's been a couple of years now. So what was it at the beginning of the pandemic versus like, how are you doing with everything now?
Beginning, it was kind of like, I felt stranded, you know, I couldn't really outsource or do certain things. So I was just writing a lot of songs, writing, honing my craft, I would like to say.
Sure.
But once it was time to get the ball rolling and everything was like, you know, you could go outside a little bit, you couldn't do too much. That's when I worked on Pink 2 and I got that. That would be for Pretend. And that's when I like really put my heart and soul in that one, and then Pretend was my next one.
Okay, nice. No, that's cool. So yeah, I basically had, there's an adjustment period, right? At first you're kind of going, okay, well, like you say, you're feeling a bit stranded, but then, you know, you make the best of it, right? So you kind of do what you can. And, you know, I'm sure, just by the looks of it, you've got a lot of releases. Like, it seems like you're a pretty creative guy. What does your creative process look like? Like what inspires you? How do you get inspiration? How do you know that you've been inspired? What does that look like for you as far as your creative process, putting together a song or an album?
For me, it's like a puzzle. And I always say this to people when they ask me, I can't sit down, hear a beat or anything and just write. Like, I have to just do it off the top of my dome for a little bit. So the first couple lines are freestyled. Mm. And if I like that, I'll take that, put that down, then I'll write after that. And if I can't write again, I'll freestyle some more. And then I like that, put that in. It's like I said, it's a puzzle. So most of my songs are freestyle written. Some of them are all freestyled. It's like, depending on, it's just the mood type of thing, but that's just for the song. When it comes to the project, it's a whole different world for me because every song is done like that. But then I always do more than I usually need. Like for Pretend, it was 9 songs, but there was like, I want to say 12, maybe 20 songs thought about for it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
And some of them will never see the light of day. Some of them were recently released. Like,
okay.
It's a weird thing that I go through. But one thing that it's always been the same is me and my friends or the people that are in my support group, we get together and we listen to it. It's a big listening party. It's like 7 of us. Nice. And we just feed off each other ideas. Like, yo, you should do this. Nah, he shouldn't do this. You know, let's turn this down. Let's turn this up. And that hones it. I have friends that know nothing about music, just know how to listen to it. And I have friends that know so much about music. So it gives me best of both worlds. You know what I mean? And that's my favorite part of it, honestly.
For sure. So yeah, I was going to ask you about like, what is your take on, because you can see on your Spotify page, you got some collaborators on that. How important is collaboration to you? It sounds very important. Like, what can you say about the collaboration as far as, how important it is to you, how energizing it is to you? And you've talked a little bit about how it helps with the finished product, but how about the actual songs themselves? Like, do you have people in there recording with you, or do you kind of give them the track and they can kind of take it home and put their stuff on it? Or how does that look like for you?
I mean, it depends. some people come over, you know, do what they got to do. Some people just, I just send it to them. But I love collaborating. But I don't want to say it's like competition, but it does hone your skills. You know, it makes you want to be, you want people to remember your verse over the next guy's verse or whatever the case may be.
I got you.
But the bottom line about that is making a good song that has people remembering both your verses, but just saying, you know, his was a little better. And I love collaborating because you meet a lot of different people. I've met a lot of different people all over the world doing this. Doing different types of music, especially because I try my best to change genres every project. So I've met so many different people, and it's like cool to see like how people in the UK, you know, really work with music, or people in Canada or Vegas or, you know, different parts of the world. Like, it's really cool to see how certain people, how their mind works, if that makes sense. And I love it. It's just how I work. I love knowing it.
No, I get it. Yeah. So you get kind of different perspectives almost, like on a song that you would bring it and it'd be, you know, one way, but then as soon as you expose it to somebody else's perspective, it kind of takes a different shape, right? And then, like you say, it's like the puzzle, another puzzle piece almost comes in there.
Exactly.
That's super rad. When do you know when to draw the line as far as like, okay, this song is done? Like, has it been a process for you as far as, you know, is it gut instinct thing, or is it you expose it to that circle of seven friends and they, you know, you unanimously agree on it? What does it look like as far as like when is enough enough? When is it done?
I usually just, and that's a great question. I don't want to ever ask me that. Now I'm over here thinking deeply. I usually just kind of, I record it or I write it. And after I'm done writing it, I usually just say, yeah, that's it. Like, I never had a song where I'm like, oh, wait, does this need more? Or what should I do more? I'm usually content with the writing process. Now, the contentment of the song is a different, you know, world. Like, then I'm like, ooh, is this song even good? there's been times where I've taken lyrics from a song, like a full verse, and basically just put it on a new beat. Now it's a whole new song, just the same lyrics. Because I could have the same lyrics on three different songs, but when I put it out, that's the first time hearing that one. So I try my best to really write what I can write, like really good, because I want to be content with it. Usually when it's done being written, I'm really like, okay, this is okay. Or this is trash, not try again. And then if I try again, I'm probably on a next beat, because I'm really a perfectionist. So like, once I don't like it, I'm kind of like, I don't want to do it anymore. Let's go to the next one. And then I might come back a couple years later, but at that moment,
okay, so like when you, yeah, it's almost a process of like you understand when something maybe isn't working or it's not fitting quite yet, so you have no issues abandoning something and just go, okay, on to the next thing, right? Like it's just it's more of that as opposed to you know, the flip side of it where you're just like, I keep adding on. Like it's just almost when a song is done, it's done, and if it's not working, move on, kind of thing. Is that this?
Yep.
Yeah, I gotcha. Who does the artwork? I really enjoy your like the cover art. It's always very different, and it's like a natural, you know, like a visual artist. It looks like who does the artwork for you?
I love to outsource for different artists. Okay. There's always a different artist. None of my projects have the same artist, and I love that.
Yeah, for sure.
What I'll do, I might be scrolling through Instagram, or I might know a person personally, and I might see a piece of art of theirs, and I'm like, I need this. This is amazing. I need this. Or do you have anything else that you made that you think will work for this? I love the, I think music is art, and totally, you know, doing that type of art is art. I love to see different arts come together. So that's always when it comes to my cover arts.
So another collaboration, essentially, like you're just kind of open to, you know, whatever speaks to you. And when you do approach an artist like that, do you kind of give them the vibe of what you're going for with the album? Or like, to your point, is there something that speaks to you that's already been created and you go, hey, can I use this for my album? Or is it sort of a mix of both?
I usually go, hey, can I use it for my project? And then I'll send them like 2-3 songs that's off the project, and then they can kind of catch the vibe from there.
Totally.
And if they're not feeling it, then that's fine. Hopefully we can work later. But if they feel it, I love that. I get so excited for it. I do.
That's awesome. Yeah. No, super cool. Definitely shout out for that. It's very worthwhile. I'll put it in the show notes, of course, all your links and all that. But when you go to your Spotify page, it really pops because you got all this nice, beautiful, like visual art as well. So it's very effective. So I just wanted to give you a shout out for that for sure.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. So give a little bit of origin, like go back, like origin story. When, how long have you been into music? Like, have you been, you know, writing music since you were fairly young? Is it fairly recent? Tell us a little bit about your origins in music.
I've been in music since as long as I can remember. I loved doing music. In elementary school, I begged my mom, begged her to get me a drum set, flute, and a piano. And I just had no idea how to play them, but YouTube is the strongest thing in the world. And I learned as best I could. I even took some classes. And eventually, you know, I was six, so I kind of said, you know, whatever, it's done. You know,
right.
My short attention span. When I was like 13, I was doing comedy rap for a little bit, just having fun on the bus at school, just doing like funny stuff for a little bit. And then at 14, I asked my mom for singing lessons. She put me in singing lessons. She said, sure. And then like before the first singing lesson, I was like, why am I doing this? I don't want to do this. So no. And I honestly thought I was not going to do anything in music. And then I turned 17 and I released my first project. It was a collaboration project somewhere on the internet at this point. And now look at me here singing and rapping and having all these instruments. Like,
yeah.
I always think about that, how I was like, wow, I don't want to do singing lessons. I'm sorry. And now I'm like, I should have picked those singing lessons.
Yeah. Oh, that's super cool. So, and then let's talk about a little bit about your that first single that you started getting some notoriety for. So you were 19 years old. You know, I want to kill myself, but now is not the right time. Obviously a fairly dark title, beautiful song though. You have a nice falsetto voice and kind of a lo-fi, you know, sounding acoustic guitar. And then you kind of do some flow, like some rapping over it and all that. How does that song come to be? Is it a little bit, tongue in cheek, or were you actually in that dark of a spot at that time? Tell us about the whole, you know, this whole story about surrounding that song and that single.
I just started working on my very first project called Walk With Me. And I was in a dark spot. I was 19. I was struggling in college. It was a hard world. And my friend sent me this beat and I fell in love with it. Like, it was an amazing beat. The dark tone it had, the background vocals, everything about it was amazing. And I just went into the booth and I just did it. No written, no nothing, just
nice,
did it.
Nice.
And I posted it with no mindset that it'll, you know, go viral. I didn't expect it to go viral because all the other songs I did were just, you know, 100 views or 300 views. Nothing wild.
Yeah.
I was kind of, at that point, I felt like I was kind of making music for myself. And when I woke up the next day and it was already at 500K,
nice.
I was like, nice. Whoa, wait a minute. Yes. What? Like, I was shocked. And being so young, knowing nothing about the music industry, knowing nothing about how to deal with it, I'm like, I made it. Like, I'm famous now. Like, I don't have to do anything. Like,
right.
It's over.
Yeah. Interesting. So, and what kind of feedback did you get? Like, were people kind of reaching out to you going, hey, this song, just the subject matter kind of spoke to me and, you know, helped me get through a time? Or was it more so just the vibe is cool, it's kind of unique sounding? Like, what kind of feedback were you getting from that one?
All of the above, honestly.
Cool, man.
Some people were like, yo, this is hot, good luck out there. Some people were like, yo, thank you. I'm happy I'm not alone. I really feel what you're talking about. Like, you were able to express what I'm feeling because I can't do it myself. Like, it was a lot of different mixed emotions from it. Some people, I've had people tell me that I was kind of exploiting people's feelings and overdoing it and stuff. And I mean, I could see why people would think that. But I was just telling my how I felt at the time. I was young. I didn't even think no one would listen. I've had close friends, like, you know, ask me, hey, are you okay? Like,
yeah,
like,
of course.
What's going on here?
Yeah.
But I'm so grateful for that song to this day.
So that kind of, was that enough to kind of give you that motivation to keep going? You mentioned it, you kind of felt like you were doing music for yourself to a degree beforehand. Was that enough to kind of, you know, go, okay, you know what, let's lean a little bit more into this? Or do you think you would have, you know, presented albums for the rest of your, you know, the next 4 years as you did? Would you have stayed the course, or was this enough to kind of motivate you to that next level?
That definitely pushed me.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, because when I was working on Walk With Me, I kept telling my friends, like, yeah, this is probably gonna be my first or last, because no one's going to really listen. It's not a big deal. And because of that song, people really listen. So, I mean, I'm grateful for it.
That's cool, man. So yeah, that's the thing. Like you kind of touched on it when people are hear your music and can actually relate to the point that you're helping them through something, and it's something that you went through as well. So it's that empathetic experience that music creates. I always think, you know, if somebody listens to the blues and for some reason it's uplifting because it shows, you know, that somebody is going through the same thing that you're going through. And somehow it's the sad music, yet it's uplifting at the same time. So it's pretty cool, like the power of music, eh? Like, I don't know. That's interesting. What would you say are your main influences? If you were to point to, okay, well, I like, you know what I mean? Like if you're coming up with something, you're like, okay, I'm going to throw a little bit, you know, fill in the blank on this, or who are your main, like your pillars, I guess, of influences?
I have five of them. They're my five idols. I always tell people this. Michael Jackson.
Nice.
Kid Cudi.
Mm.
Hobson.
Mm-hmm.
XXXTentacion. And 50 Cent.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Yeah, they've all influenced me in some way when I started making music. So I just... Yeah, those are the guys right there.
That's awesome. So we're gonna play some of your latest release. So you have the one that was up from 2021, and that's Pretend. And you also have just a 3-song mixtape you just put out. It's called Monsters Have Feelings Too. When did that one come out? When did you put that one out?
Believe it or not, that was supposed to come out 2 days ago.
Oh no!
But
way.
it got leaked, and it came out the beginning of the month.
Oh no!
So
way.
I had to just fix it and just put it out there.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. Well, yeah. Either way, that's kind of cool. We're capturing you at a time of a new release. So it's basically, tell us a little bit about it. Is it just 3 songs basically? Is it?
It's just 3 songs. Every song you kind of can hear the backstory of it, and the point of the mixtape. I didn't want to make it like real. Hard or theatrical about it or anything. It was just like 3 mixtapes, but the point of it, each song is like I'm painted as the monster, but I'm still getting my feelings out. Hence the title.
That's cool. Yeah, I'll definitely check it out. I'll spin one of the songs here at the end of the podcast. What are you looking for in the future? Like what is Pax and Chase, what's on the horizon for you as far as the rest of the year? And what are you got the next 3 to 5 years like sort of planned out, or are you the kind of guy that just sort of takes, 1 month, 1 year at a time kind of thing?
I just kind of go and hope. That's the best way I can say it. I just kind of go and hope. I am working on a new project. I don't have a name. I don't have a title. Well, that's a name. I don't have a track list, and knowing me, I could make a name tonight and change it tomorrow. So, but I know that I do have something that I'm working on. I'm looking forward to, and hopefully it can come out soon.
I like your, you have a kind of a mix of, you're very flexible with your content as far as like you say, you can change your mind, but you're also very decisive in the way that you can release an album and just be, okay, it's done. So you kind of have this, this strange dynamic, because a lot of people are either like, you say you self-proclaimed perfectionist as well. So, yet at the same token, you have no self-doubt when it comes time to release an album, where a lot of perfectionists that I know that are musicians, they have a hard time releasing something. They always like, it's never done. Right. And that's why I was kind of asking you about your process. They always just go through like, oh, it's never done. So you kind of have that, that duality about you, which is interesting.
Yeah. I mean, that's how, when I first started, I was like, yo, this isn't good enough. We have to keep doing it. We have to do this. We have to do this. But as I like grew, I realized that sometimes you got to put stuff out, let the public, be the judges, because you're going to always be your worst critic.
Sure.
I did my best ability on it, so I hope that it's good. Like,
yeah, totally. What would be your advice for any, up and coming musicians that are kind of listening to your stuff and inspired by it? Like, what are some of the, life lessons that you've learned, or even being as a musician, as far as like, what would you be able to pass on to those folks?
Just to keep going, stuff like that. Cause I remember there's times I wanted to quit so bad, and I was on the verge of multiple times, and you don't need anything expensive. I took my first check at working at a grocery store at like 18, and I just bought like all this crazy expensive equipment and didn't know how to use a lick of it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. After a while, I mean, I did figure it out, but it was big. It was taking up my small room. I had to get rid of it. And okay. I bought a $100 mic and a $150 interface. And I had a laptop, and that's why I made I wanted to kill myself off of. So
wow,
it doesn't have to be expensive at all. It's what you choose to make it.
Yeah. Oh man, very good advice. That's cool. I'm glad you shared the equipment basically, right? So, you know, to anybody listening, that's pretty inspiring stuff. Is yeah, you don't need to spend, you know, a couple thousand dollars to get the gear. I mean, if you're doing something on whatever it was, a $250 budget essentially, and you know, more or less went viral for you and springboarded you into these last 4 years, like that's a good success story, man. So thanks for sharing that. That's awesome, man. So anything else? I want to wrap it up. Basically, where can we find you online? If everybody's, obviously we'll have that in the show notes, but I want to give you a chance to verbalize it as well to everybody.
You can find me anywhere at Paxson Chase, PAXSON Chase. Spotify, Apple, Tidal, you can Google me. Anywhere you could think, I'm there.
Beautiful. Thanks so much for coming on the show, man. Super good interview. I liked picking, you know, getting some knowledge as far as just your creative process and kind of what you're doing with your, you know, your musical projects and everything. So thank you so much for your time today, man.
No, I greatly appreciate you for having me. This was so fun and highlighted my day.
I still cry when I see your pictures. They ask me why do I even care. I feel bad for all of them, 'cause they don't have the love we share. Hopeless, I feel hopeless.
I feel hopeless.
Broken, no provoking me to change. 'Cause I'd rather stay the same, yeah.
I'd rather stay the same.
There's something in my brain, man. There's something in my.
I would say I'm just a boogie G. Lucifer was human, just like me. And I've been going with the flow, just like Lee's. We just sit with the homies while they lit trees, forest fires. And I've been on my own now, no retire. She used to say she loved me, she was a liar. Woke up late for this job, I hope I'm fired. I just wanna be a king, be a sire. And I've been going in circles, call me a tire. Maybe that's why mom say I'm always tired. Post all my pain up like a flyer. But even on my sad days, tell me who's flyer. And I don't really care like I used to,
like I used to.
I don't really try like I used to,
like I used to.
I don't really cry like I used to,
like I used to.
No, no, no. Better watch who you step to,
step to.
I've been feeling like that cool,
like that cool.
And you almighty see me as a hero, but I'm just a zero. Better watch who you step to,
step to.
I've been feeling like that cool,
like that cool.
And you almighty see me as a hero, but I'm just a zero.
Fuck it.
And I still cry when I see your pictures.
I still cry, yeah, yeah, when I see your pictures.
They ask me why do I even care.
They ask me why do you even care.
I still cry when I see your pictures.
I still cry, yeah, yeah, when I see your pictures.
They ask me why do I even care.
They ask me why.
Hopeless, I'm so hopeless.
I'm so hopeless.
Broken, no provoking me to change.
Friends say I'm better off, but I don't know. My mom says things happen, but I don't know.